Welcome back. Time for the second hour of today's broadcast this Wednesday, September 6th, 2017. And I have two special guests on, Gary Sanders and Montana State Rep Steve Gunderson. And Steve, you had something to say?
Yes, sir. And I was just listening to your intro, and it really hit me home. Part of what was said was truth.
Yeah.
We don't have that any longer. We're being lied to.
Yep.
And we're in the middle of a great experiment that we've not chosen to become a part of, but we've been forced to. That great experiment is to give rights to, quote, endangered species only to allow the courtroom use of that law to further an agenda of radical environmentalism. I'm an environmentalist. I'll be the first to admit I'm an environmentalist, and so is every other logger,
mm-hmm.
miner, anybody out there that's working. And I'm sure Gary would probably agree too. We are the face of Montana, but yet we're the ones paying the price of this great experiment that's failed. I mean, we've proved it. It's failed. I can look out my window right now at this smoke, and it's failed. We have to be able to go back to the standards that we established. They've taken those environmental laws and bastardized them. They're actually double dipping. The people don't realize they're being duped. They're making donations to the Sierra Club and all these other environmental organizations just to have that organization litigate against us, taxpayers, and get paid for it.
It's diabolical. It really is. Yeah.
And that's kind of the point that I wanted to make is that, you know, the people that are supporting these environmentalists don't realize that they are being duped,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting shortchanged. They're the taxpayers that are actually paying those equal access to justice payments for those little technical fines that a federal judge says, yep, you're correct legally. By the law, you know, the Forest Service gets dinged on some little technical change that won't work from one watershed to another. Best management practices, BMP, we've lived by that, and no longer, because if technically we deviate from that one-size-fails-all plan, we get litigated. We've broke the law, and they benefit from it. So we have to change the law to a common sense. Wait a minute, one size does not fit all.
But, absolutely.
Hey, I've got to go to a briefing here with the Forest Service, so I really enjoyed being on, and I look forward to doing this again.
Steve, is there any way that people can reach out? I mean, is there a way that people can get in touch with you if they want to help, or would you direct people to any kind of resource?
Well, at the moment, we've got, I guess, a toehold that we've started, and it's caught fire. There's a Facebook page out there called Stop and Help Me, Gary, because I'm drawing a blank
here.
Stop
the spread of wildfires.
Yep.
There we go. And it's truly, truly a grassroots, basic, just place for people to put their opinions and to unite. I think what we're probably going to do with seeing how many people have actually joined us and that are conversing back and forth, or at least monitoring what we're saying and what other people are saying. I think it'll move forward, and I think we'll increase that, maybe put a web page up and try to unite people and say, stop. The madness has to stop. We have to go back to a standard that allows us to have a balance. And the key word is balance of environmentalism and economy. You mm-hmm. can't have one or the other. You have to have both.
Absolutely. Well said, Steve. I know you have to go. I appreciate your time. Thank you for coming on. Hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
Thank you, sir, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
All right. All the best to you and yours, especially in the efforts in mitigating the fires.
Well, that's that's a big, tall order right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, thank God we haven't lost any lives. We've lost some homes. We've lost private property. That can be rebuilt, but lives are too fragile. And if these environmentalists continue what they're doing, there's going to be people dying, and it's
yep.
because of them. Hey, I got to run.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And again, I appreciate your time in enabling me to get on, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thanks, Steve.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. You know, it's so obvious, and Steve makes a great point. We're being lied to. We've mentioned on this broadcast many times the Bernaysian propaganda effort from the turn of the 20th century forward to really manipulate people, the social engineering, as it's called, or psychological manipulation, more honestly, of telling people something. I call them Jedi mind tricks, that are telling people things that are obviously not true. And we come forward from the Bernaysian era, Edward Bernays, nephew of Sigmund Freud, who synthesized Freud's work with Madison Avenue Marketing and work for big multinational corporations like Johnson & Johnson, the American government, the United States military, and so forth. We've come so far now that last year's Oxford English Dictionary Word of the Year was post-truth. People are more concerned with a persuasive argument than they are with facts, reason, and logic. And hopefully, I feel like what I'm hearing and seeing with the what's happening this year in particular with the wildfires is people coming to their senses and saying, this is all a lie. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, for example, to think, as we've been conditioned to believe, that some bureaucrat thousands of miles away who's never been to these places, never had any real involvement with these places, could introduce legislation that was crafted in places like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, and other think tanky organizations, and that somehow that legislation that was crafted by people that haven't been here, have no vested interest, and introduced by bureaucrats that, same thing, haven't been here, no vested interest, that somehow that's going to work out better for my well-being, our well-being here on the ground, than what we would implement ourselves. And that gets back to the concept of local management. And I've heard a number of people, I've heard a growing outcry from people saying local management needs to happen. And the opposite is what's been pushed for years, if not decades now. Gary, are you still there?
One thing you'll notice. Yeah. Yep. One thing you'll notice on that subject is when it comes to local management, these nonprofit groups fight tooth and nail to keep Montana from taking these lands back, because they lose all of the federal opportunities that they enjoy right now on doing their land grabs. You know, they have way more resources in their toolbox if our land is under federal control than if it is under state control.
Exactly. Yeah, and there's also the federal leverage. The reduced number of bureaus and agencies and laws and so forth. If you have to deal with that kind of an issue in each of the you know, the contiguous 48 states, for example, instead of just a federal bureau, then obviously it requires more resources and is more time consuming.
Well, correct.
And there's also correct. The issue of accountability, which kind of gets back to what I'm talking about. Even, and this is kind of speculative, but not entirely, even when local management is involved, there's always an element of federal bureaucracy or a layer of accountability, so-called. In other words, the local people have to report to some kind of federal bureaucracy at some level. That always seems to be an issue as well. And so there really is no – the point is there's no true local management like Steve was talking about. It's even if there is local management per se with the federal accountability, it always seems like that one size fits all system that Steve mentioned that I talk about, which I call a snuggie system. It's a one size fits all that doesn't fit anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we're unfortunately through, people entrusting a lot of our elected officials in the past, we've gotten ourselves into this situation. And, you know, it's time that we just start wising up and saying, hey, we have to look out for ourselves. We have to do it for ourselves because they haven't looked out after our best interests. They've sold us out for money and goods and wealth. And we're left holding the bag. The American taxpayer puts the bill for everything. There's nothing free. It all comes out of our pocket somewhere.
Yep, absolutely. It's a difficult issue, and I will maybe just add, you know, an ancillary aspect to that difficulty is. As I was saying before we went on the air, there is a literal fourth branch of the government. The folks that don't know about this can look in the congressional record. When Congress was passing the Administrative Procedure Act, Senator Pat McCarran, who is the Senate Judiciary Chairman, said we have created a fourth branch. He the way he put it, and again, this is in the congressional record, he said, we have set up a fourth order in the tripartite plan of our government, which was initiated by the founding fathers of our democracy. They set up the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches. But since that time, we have set up a fourth dimension, if I may so term it, which is now popularly known as administrative in nature. So we have the legislative, executive, the judicial, and the administrative. And he went on to clarify a couple of times. He said Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, is a bill of rights for the hundreds of thousands of Americans whose affairs are controlled in one way or another by agencies of the federal government. And I would ask the average American today, what touches the citizen, as they say? Is it the White House? Does the White House come to your door? Does the Supreme Court or Capitol Hill? No, it's these agencies. So Social Security Administration, IRS, DHS, DSHS, FEMA, etc. And so McCarran went on to say he said it touches every phase and form of human activity and deals with that which at the opening of my statement I described as the fourth dimension or fourth branch of our democracy. In other words, by the Constitution, the executive, the legislative, and the judicial branches of our government were set up, but now we have a fourth branch, the administrative form of our government. And this is where all of these agencies are housed, the quasi-executive administrative branch, where they have these independent agencies, they're called. And there's a lot that's been written on this, but the problem is the usual constitutional checks and balances and safeguards have been circumvented through this system. And now You have, I suppose, what could best be described as the way Peter Thiel put it in a Mercatus Center talk that he gave at George Mason University, I think back in 2015. And the way that he put it during that talk, he said, we're living in a republic that's modified by a judicial system that's been largely superseded by these agencies, that fourth branch, that are driven, that drive the decision making. And what he said was, it's not clear we're living in anything resembling a democracy. He went on to say, calling our society a democracy is very misleading. We're not a republic. We're not a constitutional republic. We live in a state that's dominated by these technocratic agencies. And this is a guy who's in a good position to know. He's a brilliant guy, PayPal co-founder, the guy who gave Facebook its first $500,000 in investment capital through his Clarium Capital VC. And so that's an accurate statement. We live in a state that's dominated by these technocratic agencies. So where does the driving force come from? If we have any vestiges of our constitutional republic left, we have to go back and try to figure out how to reclaim those. But in conjunction with what Peter Thiel said, the study that was published back in 2014, that was done by Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page of Princeton and Northwestern universities, respectively. The study titled Testing Theories of American Politics, Elites, Interest Groups, and Average Citizens, which resulted in a wave of articles with headlines like America is an Oligarchy. The study essentially validated Peter Thiel's statement, and they said, Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page, that is, in their study, that based on 20 years of data analysis, their conclusion was multivariate analysis indicates that economic elites and organized groups representing business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while average citizens and mass-based interest groups have little or no independent influence, which, to kind of come full circle, is exactly what we're talking about here. We have interest groups from outside the local area that are driving, in this case, forest management policy. And most of the people involved in these interest groups have never even been, and certainly don't live, in the area that they're meddling in. It's insane. And so for people not to see that, for example, as you and Steve were pointing out, contributing to groups like the Sierra Club, the Aspen Institute, World Wildlife Fund, et cetera, while it sounds good because they have great rhetoric and great propaganda, it's actually subversive. It's deleterious to people's own interests locally, because these are the same groups that are pushing litigation to prevent local management of the wildlands areas that are now being ravaged by fire, and that would have been better managed if in local hands, and we probably wouldn't be seeing these problems. And so the irony, I suppose the ultimate irony for these people that want to save the birds and bunnies, we played Mike Noel's speech, The Bird and Bunny Lovers. The ultimate irony is, do the fires kill more birds and bunnies and bears and elk than the roads? I dare say they do. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Once again, about the wildfire issue, the wildfires ravaging the western United States. It's interesting how these discussions always get hijacked and common sense never prevails. It should. I'm looking, for example, at the coverage of the Brian Head fire in Utah. And KSL News reported back in June that fire officials say Brian Head fire was completely avoidable. But then they talk about how it's what can we do to prosecute people starting fires, hazardous fires? Well, that's not the majority of these fires and not the reason that these fires are out of control. It's the forestation management issue that's more at issue. And we heard Mike Noel speak specifically to that regarding the Brian Head fire. But once again, I am joined by my special guest, Gary Sanders, and Gary, I wonder, first of all, if you have any thoughts, but beyond that, if you want to talk more about the mitigation and conservation banking concept, because that's something that we haven't covered on this network really at all. But I intend to more going forward.
Okay. Yep. Well, first thing I'd like to say is, you know, for all those people down there in Texas who are suffering through what a Hurricane Harvey delivered to them, you know, hopefully God will be with them, and they'll be able to get their lives back in order in a hurry. And coming from smoke-filled Montana, all the fires, you know, it's you know, we'll just be with you guys down there, you know, through hell or high water. And there's a little map out there that one can find on the internet, a little meme that shows that. And I would also like to see if people would like to join our little group on Facebook. It's called Stop the Wildfires, or Stop the Spread of Wildfires.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I get a little sidetracked here when I'm talking from a workstation right now, so I have other things going on, so I got a little sidetracked there for a second. But one thing I would like to say real quick, if you took and overlaid the Y2Y Conservation Initiative, and that's the Yellowstone to the Yukon Conservation Initiative, over the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act, you would, it would start to put the pieces of the puzzle together and to see how this is growing. It's kind of like a tree. It has roots already established. You got a main trunk, and then now everything is starting to branch out, and they're gathering all the land masses that they want to you know, reach their end goal.
Well said. That's something that I try to point out on a regular basis, and I said earlier at the outset of today's broadcast, we see that agenda moving forward by hook or by crook. And so it seems that by whatever means, they're trying to accomplish it. I remember 10 years ago doing a radio show, literally almost 10 years ago, back in 2008, talking about some legislation that was about to be passed in Olympia that would create a piece of that corridor on the eastern side of Washington, and in conjunction with some stuff that was going on in Idaho. And five people drove to Olympia and stopped that legislation, thankfully. But yeah, like you're saying, piece by piece, incrementally, it seems like they're achieving the same ends, and that is unfortunate. People need to really wake up and see what's happening, because it's ultimately, it really is kind of a life or death issue. I think the phone lines are open. If you have a question for Gary or for me, feel free to call in 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's broadcast, this Wednesday, September 6, 2017. Again, I'm joined by special guest Gary Sanders, who is a Lolo resident, a native of the Montana area, and is very familiar. I guess we just lost Gary, darn it. Gary, if we lost you, apologize if you have to go. I certainly understand. But Gary is an ex-logger currently living in Lolo, forced to go to work over in North Dakota, as many people have been, which again gets back to my point about coercive engineered migration. And this discussion we've had with my guests, Gary Sanders and Steve Gunderson, who is a Montana state rep. He was on earlier, the end of the first hour and very beginning of the second hour of today's broadcast, talking about some of the issues that local residents face with regard to these wildfires that are ravaging the American West. And in the simplest terms, I would just call it coercive engineered migration, a la Agenda 21 and the efforts announced by Murray Strong at the 1992 Rio Earth Summit to rewild America, because people are the problem, destroying the earth, as the Club of Rome wrote back in the 70s. People are the new enemy, remember? And all right. I want to, Gary, I should have asked if you had time for calls, but we do have a call. I want to take a call real quick. If you're willing, I think we should do that.
You bet.
Okay. Real quick, let's grab Rich in Alabama. Rich, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. I heard you talking earlier about the Federal Register and the Administrative Procedures Act. Ralph Winterode he's been actually talking about this for years.
Yep.
And he was saying that these public officials all have bonds, and if these public officials are not doing what the people who put them in office are accomplishing, that the people need to, I guess, go to the county courthouse and put a complaint in against public official bond. Do you have any experience with this, or your guest?
I don't have any experience with that personally, and
I don't myself either. So
I would probably point folks to Ralph Winterode's archive on that. And yes, he's very well versed on that subject matter. I would almost think, you know, that feels somewhat antagonistic, but I don't know. You know, different people can do different things. I don't know that I would be able to get away with that, so to speak, without it being seen as incendiary. I seem to have that effect, even with the most well-intended efforts sometimes.
Well, you seem very humble, and you're very calm, cool, and collective. So, Chris, I think you would be a very good representative for, you know, possibly doing that type of a cause. I do know some lawyers that would probably say, no, don't do that. But I kind of get the impression that, you know, they've been educated or instilled by the American Bar Association to, you know, stay with the program, even though that program that they've been following and taught under are actually controlling and going after them if they stand up to what the American Bar Association has been doing in the past.
Yeah,
I think the Southern Poverty Law Center is a prime example. I don't see how they've gotten so away with what they're doing, and it seems like to me that everything that we are fighting against is falling under the umbrella of Agenda 21 for Sustainable Development, whether people know it or not.
Absolutely.
But anyway, Chris, I wanted to say thank you for you know, what you're doing, and one other thing. Apparently, I've been saying that the first three chapters of Title V of the United States Code, if enough people would read those first three chapters of the U.S. Code at Title V, we would have a weapon to use against the system that Roosevelt created back in 1935. And it also is part of the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946. So anyway, just a food for thought, and there's an old saying, I am nothing, but we are everything. So that might be something to keep in mind when it comes to fighting against the forces of darkness. So thanks for taking my call, and have a blessed day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Rich. Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Gary, I know that you're out of time and you've been on longer than you anticipated, and I appreciate it. Thank you. Do you need to jump off?
Yes, I do, and I thank you for having me on. I hope that we can do this a little more often and bring awareness to people, because all this is tied into Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030.
Absolutely.
And, people need to understand it, and they need to be able to pick out the hints in conversations, you know, that keep leading us back. And when they talk about infill and moving the people back from the countryside back into the cities and towns, there's a numerous amount of ways they're going to do that. Wildfire could be one of them. Another way for them to do it is through taxation, through controlling our water. And in Montana, western Montana, we had the issue with the water compact.
Yep.
And they're trying to get the tribes to take over the water rights, and tribes are controlled by the federal government, so that gives oversight back to the federal government, takes it away from
exactly.
the state.
Which was exactly my point. And so there is that argument, for example, there that, you know, it's locally managed, but it's not. Again, it's federal control, ultimately.
Yep, exactly. And I hope we have more time to talk about this. And you know, I've enjoyed being on your show, and I really appreciate it. And you've given us a great platform to reach out. And I hope that everybody out there will come to our Facebook page and join our group and put out ideas. Because when I started this, I was just a single voice with an idea. And I'm not heard. I'm not listened to. But as more people started taking an interest into it, our voices collectively are gaining strength. And with strength, pretty soon they can't ignore us. You know, we become a formidable opponent. And that's what we need to do, is keep coming together and sharing our thoughts and ideas, and maybe at one point in time our resources, so that we can fight back the injustices that we're experiencing right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said, Gary. And I appreciate you coming on the broadcast. I hope that we can do it again and regularly too. And I appreciate your efforts. And we'll keep pointing folks to the Facebook page, the group, I guess, Stop the Spread of Wildfires. And this was sort of an impromptu thing. I mean, I reached out to you early this morning, and I would like to have been better prepared, but I think it was good nonetheless, and so hopefully we can do it again.
You bet. Thank you very much, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Gary. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was my guest, Gary Sanders. Again, you can keep up with these issues over the Facebook page. It's actually a group page, Stop the Spread of Wildfires on Facebook. Steve Gunderson was on the broadcast earlier, Montana State Rep, representing House District 1 in that Lincoln County area, as I mentioned earlier, and you can follow his posts there in the group as well. But hopefully it was informative. And again, it was fairly impromptu. I usually like to be a little more prepared, but I think it was good nonetheless, raising awareness, especially, as I said, on the issue of mitigation and conservation banking. That's a layer of hijinks that I was not really aware of to the degree that I am now, even just with the little bit of discussion we've had about that. It's just another example, or I suppose I should say it's just more evidence. It's just another piece of evidence that the conspiracy is real. Agenda 21 is happening, whether officially or unofficially, by hook or by crook. The rewilding initiative is being accomplished. All of these little pieces of the puzzle, you know, the introduction of predators, super predators like the timber wolf into this area that can't sustain the introduction of these kinds of super predators. The grizzly bear nonsense in the area, the tying up of federal, the tying up of wildlands in federal conservancyship, and the litigation in certain areas, it's all, I mean, how can any of that, as we look at the ill effects of all of those kinds of things and more, obviously, how can any of that be argued to be good for the areas that ostensibly are supposed to be protected by these efforts, when they're the very things that are destroying these areas across the country and, again, driving people out of these areas? And some of the things that we didn't mention today, one of the big things, for example, speaking of coercive engineered migration and kind of pushing people out of these areas, one thing that wasn't mentioned was that archery season opened last weekend in Montana. And so Saturday the 2nd was opening day for archery season. A number of folks didn't go out because it was too hot, and the smoke obviously is terrible. It's getting worse all the time, but that's something that a number of folks, and obviously hunting season just opened, big game, which is by no means over, but there are folks that hunt to put food on the table for a period of the year. There are a number of folks, for example, that work in construction jobs and things that might not work for a few months in the winter, especially if things like this happen and resources are diverted for firefighting efforts, for example. There's going to be a recovery effort. As you heard Mike Noel mention in the video clip that we played earlier, the watershed is lost, and there are a number of other ill effects when these kinds of natural disasters occur. And again, I think natural is a relative term. I'm not entirely convinced they're natural. However covert and diabolical the means of engineering the wildfires may or may not be, I should say. So there are folks that hunt to put meat on the table, literally, and that is impacted when this happens. It drives folks out of the forest. It obviously drives the wildlife population away from the areas that are burned, and it has a ripple effect that is very significant. Some folks have commented about if you do some research, speaking of the introduction of the super predators like the timber wolf, if you do a little bit of research, you'll see that there's evidence to suggest that the Mississippi has even been rerouted in certain areas to some degree because of the change in migratory patterns of Elkhart's, for example. So this is no small issue by any means. Just to kind of touch in closing on Rich's comments, with regard to what Ralph Winterode has mentioned, I don't know the context exactly. I wouldn't want to speak to that and definitely not put words in Ralph's mouth, which is not what Rich is doing, I don't think, by any means. But I would just – my only comment would be, for me, I always feel like that is picking a fight. I don't think I could get away with it. I would say I would pursue more diplomatic means, hopefully, at least initially, and maybe with – you know, kind of doing what you do with kids. If we can't come to some kind of diplomatic resolution, we will pursue other means. That to me is kind of how I would think of that. But it depends. Every place and every situation is different. So there's that old adage, you know, the quote from Kiss of the Dragon and other movies, there's a time for diplomacy and a time for action. Diplomacy is dead. Some might say that diplomacy is dead and advocate for action. It's the time for action. But that's just my thought on that. And speaking of the first three chapters of Title V, I would only add, this is the devil's system. The administrative system is the devil's system. The operative phrase, as I always mention, is that phrase that, as far as I know, was first used in the 1875 Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering case. When the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts, and it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise, which to me translates in simplest terms, the only rule is that there are no rules, and we reserve the right to change the rules at any time, for any reason, without notice. And so it's difficult to play the devil's game and think that you're going to win. Really, as Gary was sort of signing off, he, in his comments and sentiments, reminded me of Andrew Jackson's warning in his farewell address. We've been warned. Back in 1837, among other times, we were warned. Andrew Jackson warned us and told us this is where we would be. He said it wouldn't be easy, but the power was in our hands. And back in 1913, the system that he warned would be the engine by which this kind of malfeasance would take place was re-implemented, reinstituted, re-legitimized. You might say, the way Andrew Jackson put it, among other remarks, and he had many to this effect, the paper money system and its natural associations, monopoly and exclusive privileges, have already struck their roots too deep in the soil, and it will require all your efforts to check its further growth and to eradicate the evil. The men who profit by the abuses and desire to perpetuate them will continue to besiege the halls of legislation in the general government as well as in the states, and will seek by every artifice to mislead and deceive the public servants. It is to yourselves that you must look for safety and the means of guarding and perpetuating your free institutions. In your hands is rightfully placed the sovereignty of the country. And to you, everyone placed in authority is ultimately responsible. It is always in your power to see that the wishes of the people are carried into faithful execution, and their will, when once made known, must sooner or later be obeyed. And while the people remain, as I trust they ever will, uncorrupted and incorruptible, and continue watchful and jealous of their rights, the government is safe, and the cause of freedom will continue to triumph over all its enemies. But, he said, it will require steady and persevering exertions on your part to rid yourselves of the iniquities and mischiefs of what? Of the paper system. And to check the spirit of monopoly and other abuses which have sprung up with it, and of which it is the main support. What's the main support of all of this that we've talked about today? This paper system. So many interests are united to resist all reform on this subject that you must not hope the conflict will be a short one, nor success easy. My humble efforts have not been spared during my administration of the government to restore the constitutional currency of gold and silver, and something I trust has been done toward the accomplishment of this most desirable object. But enough yet remains to require all your energy and perseverance. The power, however, is in your hands, and the remedy must and will be applied if you determine upon it. Those are wise words, and he had many more, and I, as always, would encourage folks to read the farewell address of Andrew Jackson. Very, very, very wise, and we would do well to heed his warnings. He spoke at length about this specific issue. What is the main support of the monopoly and other abuses which have sprung from it? The main support is the paper system, the iniquities and mischiefs of the paper system. As Jefferson put it, paper is poverty. It is the ghost of money and not money itself. How did we get here? Designing men, intriguers, as they have been referred to, spirit of intrigue. So hopefully this all makes sense. We have a great deal of work to do. This is the way Andrew Jackson put it. The severe lessons of experience will, I doubt not, be sufficient to prevent Congress from again chartering such a monopoly. Oops, but we did in 1913, didn't we? The Federal Reserve Act. Even if the Constitution did not present an insuperable objection to it. What does insuperable mean? But you must remember, my fellow citizens, remember these words? You must remember, my fellow citizens, that eternal vigilance by the people is the price of liberty. But what is the context? What is the backdrop of those words, this paper system? And that you must pay the price if you wish to secure the blessing. It behooves you, therefore, to be watchful in your states as well as the federal government. Defeated in the general government, the same class of intriguers and politicians, Jackson said, will now resort to the states and endeavor to obtain there the same organization which they failed to perpetuate in the Union. And guess what they did? You've already had abundant evidence of its power to inflict injury upon the agricultural, mechanical, and laboring classes of society and over those whose engagements in trade or speculation render them dependent on bank facilities. The dominion of the state monopoly will be absolute and their obedience unlimited. Don't we see that today? With such a bank and a paper currency, the money power would in a few years govern the state and control its measures, and a sufficient number of states can be induced to create such establishments. The time will soon come when it will again take the field against the United States and succeed in perfecting and perpetuating its organization by a charter from Congress. That's what happened in 1913. This is the real root cause. So that always needs to be mentioned. Anyway, my thanks, sincere thanks to my special guests and to Rich in Alabama for calling. I hope it was informative. Go check out the Facebook group, Stop the Spread of Wildfires. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.